May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When Bracken read that scripture, I was going to share something else, but it just awakened my heart to something. Now, that's a real personal word for me that God spoke to my life many years ago, decades ago. That was one of those transformational words. But that's a different story. I like what it says here. It says that on that day, when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go to the other side." Then they get in the boat, and there's a storm. They awaken him because they're afraid. Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid or timid? Why have you no faith?" But it's really important that the Holy Spirit added that on that day. He wanted us to understand. He didn't just throw the story together. And on that day was the day he taught about the parable of the seed and the sower. And then after that, he used several other examples. And what the parable of the seed and sower is sort of an overarching parable. As a matter of fact, there's a place where it's used that. This is the first parable, the words arching. The parables are insight into how to operate in the kingdom of God. And the parable of the seed and sower is an overarching parable where everyone else has got to fit in. It's kind of like the wedding in Canaan. Who said that was the first miracle? It's also this word for arching. It sort of gives insight into who Jesus is and what Jesus does and that kind of thing. But the parable of the seed and sower, when you get down to it, what he simply says is this is how the kingdom of God works. God speaks a word and you believe it. And you stand on that, believing it, until you see a harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. There are four different soils represented in the parable of the seed and the sower, but the first three got taken out. First one, real quickly, as soon as the seed was sown, the birds of the air, the demonic steals it. Then there's a little bit of growth and the cares and circumstances world. Then there's just not the long-lasting. It just doesn't last. And if you go through other two gospel lessons that use the parable of seed and sower, Luke 8 and Matthew 13, it'll adds to it and says, if you believe and persevere in your faith, if you'll hold fast to your faith, if it finds a good heart. So faith has to have some stamina, because sometimes when God speaks something, you may not see the manifestation in the natural yet. So that's the whole principle. Hear the word of God. God speaks the word. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God, and then you believe it. And you keep believing it until you see its manifestation in the natural. But again, faith doesn't make anything exist. Faith is a result that something does exist. If God speaks it, it already exists in the heavenlies. Faith is substance, and faith is evidence. It's proof that something already exists. So when he gets in the boat, Jesus does what Jesus does. And if you're like me, I love to spend time in the Word. God speaks all kind of stuff. Not just promises, but insight, revelation into how the Christian life works. And those are promises too, right? So I'm just talking about something that God's going to do for in the future, just some insight in how the Christian life works and just the whole thing. You know, it could be something as simple as God causes all things to work together for good. That's a great verse everybody knows. And calls all things, but he calls them all to work together for good. And so what Jesus does, and the way this Christian life works, is the same way it would work if you were a discipler or if you were a mentor. There's lecture, then there's lab. And I remember particularly when I was in the School of Nuclear Medicine, we would do lecture and lab. I did a lot better at lecture than I did at lab. Because in lecture, I could act like I knew what they were talking about. In lab, it was obvious that I didn't. I remember one of our lead instructors told me one time that I leaked some radioactive material. He said, "I love you, Chuck. You're a nice person, but I had to take tranquilizers the size of oatmeal cookies every night because of you." I'm so sorry. So this is what Jesus does. He gives them this word. This is how the kingdom of God works. God speaks something, and you believe it. Very simple. Look, Christian life is lived by what? Faith. The just live by faith. So he tells them that parable. Then he gives them a word. Let us go over to the other side. On that very day, lab. That's the word. He just spoke it. They get in the boat, and everything around them looks like this can't be true. They're going to sink. But of course, Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Well, why was Jesus asleep? Jesus only said those things he heard the Father say. So why was Jesus asleep? Because he knew they were going to go all the way to the other side. He wouldn't care that they were going to perish because he knew that was not possible. Unless they jumped out. You know, I've said this before. If that thing had sunk, it would have become the first submarine in human history. They were going to go to the other side. So most Christians live the Christian life thinking, well, I remember the first time I read that all those decades ago, I thought, well, that's faith. I mean, they woke Jesus up. They knew Jesus could do something about the situation, right? They knew they couldn't. Isn't that part of what faith is about? But Jesus said, "You had no faith." And the reason was is because he'd already given them the word. And now he was giving them the lab. Be sure that when God speaks something to you from Scripture or somebody gives you a prophetic word, like in a setting like this or whatever, it's like, oh, I needed to hear that. That God's going to test whether you believe that. Because that's how he makes. Exams are not merely meant to flunk people. They're meant to get things inside of us. A real good teacher, they only give tests to make sure it's gotten inside of you. That's what the testing of our faith is about, to make sure it gets inside of you, to expose whether or not, do you really believe it? And do you believe it in contradiction to everything else that may go around, even your own performance? God may give you revelation. You know, Scripture says in Christ, I died to sin. Now, I know I can sin. I still have that choice, but I died to sin. Sin's power over me is broken, and yet I sin this sin again. That must not be true. No. That's a test. Your experience isn't the truth. Your feelings aren't the truth. Your circumstances aren't the truth. What he says is the truth. The world says, just keep looking up. The kingdom of God says, no, just keep looking down because you're already up. See things from his perspective. What does he say? And that's the truth. And you look at everything going on around you in light of that. And so faith does what Jesus does. Instead of me running to Jesus and go, oh, Jesus, please help, I'm perishing. Resting in what he said is true. My faith stands on his word and rests on his word and his word alone. Regardless of what the storm looks like, regardless of what it may appear, if he said it, it's true. And I can rest in that because I'm going to go all the way to the other side of manifestation. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.